Humans and Grappling Podcast, episode 5 with Ali Minayan. I've never had to say it pronounced.
It's okay. It's no big deal.
Cool. So where the fuck have you been? You haven't been training, bro.
I do. The past 3 weeks I was off. I restarted going back in, but I mostly train downtown now.
You're downtown.
I do miss the old crew. I miss Casey's class. I miss the OG 6 a.m. class.
Yeah, right.
Bella's no longer here, but I miss training with him. He was great.
Right. Yeah, definitely. So, yeah. So what, I guess, is that closer to your work or closer to your house or something like that?
My house is actually closer to the gym, but my job is way up Summerlin. So it's like from my place all the way to Summerlin, it's like by the time I get back, class is kind of already midway through. I just go straight downtown and just train over there.
Cool.
So, and I really like Jesse. I think he's a phenomenal teacher over there.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the new guys over there are amazing too. So.
Yeah. No, that's interesting that, how we have multiple gyms, but also multiple class times at each of these gyms.
Yeah.
So it's like basically like...
each one with their own different culture too.
Exactly. Yeah, it's so strange. But it's also so awesome that we get all these different perspectives of like all these different coaches at all these different times. And then you can kind of flip between a few different times and see like a wide variety of technique.
For sure.
Yeah. what time at downtown have you been going to?
Night class.
Oh, night class. Yeah. Okay, cool.
It's usually like it's just straight. It's beginner, but it's a little bit of everything. And then we don't really have an advanced class. So we just go straight into like situationals, and from there we just roll until it all ends.
I'm turning the AC up, so it's kind of warm in here. So
I'm all right.
Okay, cool. So what?
Can we first talk about you?
All right.
Let's switch it up. I'm taking control. Your this is an Ali podcast. What's up? Switching it up.
Sure.
No, you had an amazing year.
Yep, I did.
You got married. Yeah. You got married.
Uh-huh.
You got third place in ADCC Open.
Yep. That was last week. That is
a big deal.
It's interesting because it's not just a local tournament. Like, it's not a...
everyone's coming to Las Vegas for it.
Like, yeah, it's sort of like the trials, but not really. Like, it's lower stakes trials. So, yeah, that was cool. Backing up. Getting married is cool because it's, like it's a different level of commitment. Like, even though, like, you're getting the government involved and all that kind of stuff, like, signing a piece of paper... but it's like it's the change of verbiage is the biggest thing. It's like
it sounds adult.
Yeah, right. I feel like I'm grown up now.
Like, this is my girlfriend. It's like, it's all high school.
Right now, yeah, exactly. Right, that's the same word you've been using since high school. But now, I this is my wife, Lark, and it's like, oh, okay. This is like, I don't know. It denotes a certain level of like maturity or whatever. But so it's dope. And she's super supportive. Has been.
She's awesome. I like her.
Oh yeah, yeah. But most hilarious Instagram, according to my friends. Like my friends follow her, and I'm like, oh, I didn't know you. Like, whatever. She roasts me on her stories, and shit like that. So at Lark in Progress, if you want to follow. And then she's super supportive of like me competing, and she's always there. Just in case something goes wrong or whatever, I don't know, imaginary the worries she can come up with, she's always there. So
it's awesome. Nice.
Yeah, thank you for interviewing the interviewer.
Also, you started Go-Go Grappling last year?
That was
or was it this year?
End of 2020.
Okay
That was
you built it up this year, and then you also destroyed it this year.
Exactly, yeah.
Now you're doing this, so it's real cool. I'm always, like, super, vicariously invested in people, like, within our gym.
Yeah.
Like, see what they're doing, kind of, like, cheering from afar.
Oh, yeah. And that's kind of why I wanted to do this podcast, is to, like, give people more insight into, like, what they do outside of the gym. Because, like, we see each other, and it's also, it's a weird thing to, like... see somebody on the street outside of their rash guard. Like, it seems, like, isn't that weird to, like, see, like...
It's like, dude, that's what his feet looks like in shoes,
right? Yeah. Or, like, you wearing a hat or whatever. Yeah. Like,
I'm bald now.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah,
so... Sensitive.
So, it's cool to get to know your teammates outside of the gym.
Definitely.
So, this is just kind of my way of doing that. I was about to give you a bunch of shit for, like, not training and haven't seen you in a while. Like, you had the blue belt blues or whatever. I had a whole, like, I was like, this is an intervention to, like, get you to train. No, but it sounds like you've been training. So you're a blue belt. How long have you been training for?
Oh, jeez. I want to say, like, time flies. I think it was around 2016 or 17? It was literally 3 months after Henderson Open.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
You're one of the OGs.
Yeah. So I was fairly new. I was here for the three original coaches, Casey, Andrew Ram, and Jesse Bell.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Cool.
And I think Doyle joined a little bit later, I think. Mm-hmm. I forgot.
Gotcha. It's interesting that, yeah, those are... those guys were before. I mean, obviously Casey's still here, but those guys are before my time. So it's like they're just legends to me. Like, I've only met Andrew Ram a handful of times.
And he's like this mysterious black belt that lives in Mount Charleston.
Right, he lives on the mountain, like literally this, like
taking care of horses, just isolated from the rest of us.
Right. So he is a character. Everyone's a character at the gym.
For
so,
sure.
Yeah. But yeah, like I came in like, I don't know, maybe a year after you or something like that. When Mike Wilson and Dowell
That's were right, yeah.
running the 6 a.m. programs.
Yeah. So, yeah. No, I remember when you first started coming in.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You remember. Yeah.
I was actually in 6 a.m. before Dowell took over. Andrew was teaching it. It was his birthday. And he was like, Ollie, could you come to my 6 a.m. for my birthday? I'm like, okay, I'll wake up super early for you, bro. And I got hooked since.
Okay, cool. Nice. What do you... How did you find it? How did you come across it initially?
Jiu-jitsu in general?
Yeah.
It's kind of a multi-layered situation. So it started out... a few years ago, so my family, me, my sister, my two cousins, like mm-hmm. we are super tight.
Yeah.
Like I love them. That it's like we're ride or die.
Uh-huh.
One of my cousins was having we were having some family issues, and she was kind of being distant from us. And I was trying to figure out a way to like kind of connect with her. And so at the time she was. She was dabbling in jiu-jitsu. She started going to John Jock. She was also, she was dating, I'm not going to throw out her, a person's name out of respect. Yeah. But he was a high-level jiu-jitsu athlete.
Gotcha.
And so I was curious, because I wanted to enter her world, kind of like connect with her.
I see.
And so I started researching this guy and seeing his like EBI tournaments. And I was also fascinated too, because he was playing a lot of is it called possum guard? Like when you just lie down pretending you're dead,
yep.
And then dudes come after you and you roll into like a leg lock, and I'm like, what is this sport? Oh, by the way, I was never a sports person. I actively evaded PE.
Sure.
I did a little bit of skateboarding and snowboarding, but like for the most part, I hated all sports, never cared about football, basketball, any of them.
Yeah.
And I actually joined like ROTC just to avoid PC.
Oh, wow.
Or PE, so.
Okay. That's interesting.
So I was like, okay, I will put myself out there.
Yeah.
And my buddy, I never know how to say his last name. It's Waya. It's Chris Waya, the Samoan guy. He occasionally comes in.
Uh-huh.
But Joe Rogan, Eddie Bravo, and all that stuff. Yeah. Like we all listened to podcasts, and he started going in, and I followed his lead shortly after.
Yeah.
And the first couple classes were dope. Like I've never rolled on my back since I was like a little kid.
Oh,
and so just the process of like moving, making space for your shoulder to like roll back, like that was so foreign to me.
Right.
And I don't think I got my first tap for like a whole year.
Oh, for sure.
And then like the first time you like submit like a big bodybuilder dude that just comes in trying it out, and you're like, this is real. This is insane. This is real.
Yeah.
I'm choking him. This is real life.
Yeah. It's definitely like a, you know, the meme where it's like, what gives feelings a power or whatever is like strangling somebody who's just walking off the street who like the general population would be afraid of, but like you, like we have a different set of people that we're afraid of.
Rich Castro, dude is half my size.
Yeah,
just Kimura's me like within seconds.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I'm afraid of him too. Like he fucks me up, and he's like I've got 100 pounds on him, so it's or maybe not 100 pounds, but 80.
But to like fast forward a little. My cousin, she's like a brown belt now at John Jocks. She's in it. She married one of the people in there. One of the instructors, sure. Marcel, who's like we're all super tight.
That's dope.
And it's cool because she got into art. I like to think in my head that like we both went full circle.
Sure.
Like,
you guys traded bodies. Yeah, that's cool. All right, so then you got influenced by her to like come in.
Definitely.
And
like by accident, I loved it.
I see.
I loved the we started doing like flow rolls. I started saying what was that girl's name, Grace Gundrum? Like flow rolling with her instructor who's like twice as big as her.
Right.
And like how like they were baiting limbs, mm-hmm. and like I love that like chess aspect of it, and I was like, oh, this is I get it, like this is cool.
Yeah, there's a whole like layers and layers of like strategy going on.
Yeah,
like instantaneously. That's dope. Sweet. So I guess why 10th Planet, John Jock or like Eddie Bravo,
Joe? Definitely that. It was also I went to. I shouldn't drop the names. I went to two other Brazilian jiu-jitsu gyms, and I just love Casey's also is like super magnetic.
Sure, yeah.
So his personality I definitely like gravitated towards, but I also love like the people there. It felt way more laid back
for sure.
And everyone, the other gyms were kind of more militant, for lack of a better word.
Yeah,
and how old was I when I started? Was I 27? I'm already like nearing 30, and I'm like, dude, I can't take shit from another adult.
Right?
Maybe you could fool me when I'm little, but there's no way. No, if someone starts yelling at me, I'm just gonna like walk away.
Yeah.
Like I don't react to those people in general. Sure. So like I'm generally like I'm like people that are cool and chill, I'm like easy to meld with.
Definitely. Yeah. That's cool. So, yeah, no, 10th Planet is like a band of misfits. Like we don't fit in with jiu-jitsu, so it attracts people who don't necessarily want to, like, be, like, in somebody's program and, like, on, like, whatever, being strict and regimented. It's like, yo, we're doing something that we enjoy. We're doing something fun. Like, we don't have to be here.
Yeah.
We're here because we want to be here, so...
And I've heard the term Franken-jitsu thrown around from other gyms.
Oh, interesting.
Where they're like, they don't want you to train with other people because, like, it ruins your...
Ruins the
jiu-jitsu. Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, when has that not benefited something? Right. Like, anything. Art, technology, like, when you just take from something else and match it.
Right.
And so I saw that in 10th Planet,
uh-huh.
Where they were just open to whatever
definitely.
News. So.
Right. Yeah, no, and that's... That I've never heard that term before.
Yeah.
As a disparaging term. And I was like, wow.
Franken-jitsu.
I feel like attacked now. Because it's like, why not have Franken-jitsu? Like, isn't that the best thing? Like,
I totally agree.
I want Rich Castro's Kimura. I want Casey's side choke. I want, like, whatever. If you train other places, like, go get their best shit and, like, bring it back. Right? Or Gordon Ryan's leg locks, like you watch a DVD. Is that Franken-jitsu? Like, is I don't know. So is that? I mean, this is the culture. Is like where we love training with everyone. We invite a bunch of people to like train with us at open mat, and like people cross train with us all the time.
Definitely.
So, it's interesting. That there's still holdouts for whatever reason. I mean, we know the reason. It's money. Because, like, you don't, like, that's $150 a month per person.
Yeah.
If somebody leaves you, then that they could bring people with them, and, like, you start losing money as an instructor. So
definitely.
Gym owner. So I get why that developed, but, like ADCC just had, whatever, 12,000 spectators here in Las Vegas that traveled here. Like, jiu-jitsu's not growing smaller. It's only getting bigger. So I think there's plenty of room to grow for everyone. And Tenth Planet is just kind of at the forefront of that. Of like, just, hey, look, just kind of loose affiliation, like not being so, super uptight about cross-training.
Definitely.
So, that's cool. So what does grappling mean to you since you started it?
Again, going back, it was a way for me to connect with my cousin.
Yeah.
But,
And maybe since...
Yeah.
After that.
It's also evolved. I mean, like, I'm my main professional... I'm an artist. I'm a professional artist. I'm also a musician. So sure. The majority of the time, it's like I'm sitting down.
Yeah.
And, you can't be, like, a full, like, round... person you eventually do turn around right. You can't be a whole person by not accessing like other parts of you in my opinion, and in my case it was like a physical part of me and so I was like, as much as I hated sport, like I thought like this doesn't feel like a sport, by the way.
Sure.
It feels like hanging out with your friends playing like chess.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
And you're literally making jokes as you're like choking each other.
Exactly.
Like it's a cool little hangout. So like and it's the complete opposite of sitting in front of or running on a treadmill, just watching the most horrific news and I hated the gym so much. I still hate it. So it was the opposite of that. I got to access that part of me where I feel a more whole, better human being.
That's awesome.
By accessing my physical side.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you told me I was gonna do that, like in my early 20s.
Yeah.
Like, I would have been like, you're not doing that. That's insane. Right?
That back in your long hair days, where you're like, a fucking...
Oh, by the way, I ended up quitting ROTC so I could grow out my hair.
Oh, okay. I was going to, like, I wanted to circle back to that. It's like, what the fuck? Like, why were you in ROTC? Like, what?
ROTC was... JROTC, I should say.
Yeah, right.
What was cool is, like, I'm also a fan of history. And so, like, the first, like... 3/4 of the class, you're sitting down just doing like memorizing historical events, your chain of command, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And like it was just the last quarter when you're actually outside running and doing push ups.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll just suffer for that.
Right.
That bit if I can avoid PE.
Right. But you're doing more PE. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. I mean, you're high school, but things don't fully track. But,
dude, if they had jiu-jitsu, man, I probably would have done like wrestling too. Sure. Like if I knew how fun it is.
Yeah. Wrestling's is a little different. It's less, I mean, you still hang out, like you still become really close with the guys, but the practices are like more intense.
Yes.
So so the practice wouldn't be as fun, but like you still dick around with your friends like afterwards and like on tournaments on Saturdays, like tournaments were like, I don't know. We got into card games because like you're just sitting there waiting around, waiting to get called, and like we would get up super early in the morning, and like drive there. People are cutting weight or whatever. We're asleep. Like we have like 10 people to like an 8-person van. So like kids are on the ground and shit. Like not wearing seatbelts. I don't know. It was just a wild time. But then like. Yeah, like you get there at 7, weigh in, and then the tournament doesn't start till 10, so you have a lot of like free time, and just we're sitting around like playing cards and hanging out. So there is like that like chilling with your bros aspect, but at the same time, like I don't know, the physical activity is a little bit more intense
for sure. So. I was gonna ask because I listened to your first podcast.
Oh,
I'm a fan.
Oh, thank you.
You talked about how like you got into jiu-jitsu to get that part of you that never got state or went into state. Like, exactly. Did you feel a little bit whole when you did get third place in your ADCC?
I felt like the big push was Trials. Like that was so the ADCC Open, that's sort of like, that's cool, but it was like, I put way more emphasis on Trials because that was like, I thought about that for like 2 years, and it was like when, so in 2019, John Thor Blank, he's just a guy. He had a day job. He was an electrician.
He had a 9-to-5. You should get him on this podcast.
I should have. I was sitting with him during the main ADCC tournament. I was hanging out with him. It was super dope to get his like perspective. Unfortunately, he was hurt this ADCC. He tore his bicep tendon. So, yeah. So like I saw Thor do it, and he had a 9-to-5, and I was like, oh shit. Like maybe I could do it, and that kind of incepted the idea into my head.
Oh, sick!
Okay, so I was like, cool. I was like, oh, maybe I can do Trials. Like this was still like way beyond. Like I had no idea how well I could do or whatever. And then I don't know. I keep training. I work with Leonard to improve my wrestling, and just like he beats the hell out of me, but I get a lot better because of it. So it's a good trade off. And then, I don't know, Trials comes up, like West Coast Trials, April this year. And it was like, kind of like I peaked for that. A bunch of shit went wrong around Trials, but I peaked for it. And I was like, I won 3 matches my first day and I was super focused. I was in it. And I'm already repeating stories on the podcast. Right. So I feel like Joe Rogan repeating the same story. Like, this is going to be Mike Lady story number 3.
That's okay.
Of ADCC Trials, I get sick. So I end up with hand, foot, and mouth disease that I later find out, like, I never had it as a kid. Apparently, it's something that you get as a kid and you just never get it anymore. So somebody brought it with them on my first day. So then I'm like, feverish chills, I sleep like shit, like Saturday night into Sunday. I have a match with Elder Cruz, who was just in the main ADCC like tournament this last weekend. So that's the I made it. I was like, I reached this level of like I'm going against the best guys now. Sick. Like this was cool. Like my goal with this thing. It's like I wanted there is no like filter for like who can do what tournaments or whatever, right? Like any Joe Blow off the street can sign up for these tournaments. It just depends how well you're gonna do. So it's a what's the word I'm looking for? There's no gatekeepers. Mm-hmm. It's not like you can't just go out and compete against LeBron James in basketball or whoever. So
for sure,
to go with the top guys, it's kind of crazy. Compete against Elder Cruz. I somehow feel good enough to go out and compete, and I only lose by like 3 points, a back tick. So
nice. That's still impressive.
Yeah,
it's very cool.
Thank you. Yeah, so that was kind of like my, I was like, this is what I worked so hard for, and yeah, this is what I told myself like 10 years ago when I first started. This is what I wanted to do, is like I wanted to be a world champion because I wanted to like be the best at something. Yeah. Right. I had no idea how it was going to look like, but it turned out that I can still like compete against the best guys. Like even if I'm not a black belt yet, I can still enter these like high level tournaments and do well against these guys. So yeah, that's kind of like my why behind doing jiu-jitsu, and it's kind of the, I don't know, to make up for the competitiveness that I lost out on when I was a senior in high school. So thank you for listening. Appreciate that.
We all start somewhere.
So. Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah, the origin story, the villain origin story. Cool. So I guess, you mentioned your day job already. Like you're a graphic designer.
Yes. That's what pays the bills.
Right. So. Yeah. That's what funds the grappling. That's cool. So, how did you get into that?
So I've always been an artist.
Sure.
Like Even my mom, she was like, dude, at one point I was staring at you and I'm like, there's no way in the hell you're going to be a math or a lawyer. And like, it was also kind of keeping me out of trouble as well too. It's like, dude, don't mess with Ollie. He'll draw you Goku.
Right.
you traded that for street cred.
And like, I was never, I'm a lot better now, but I was never good at expressing myself like through words. And so like, yeah, art was definitely something that helped me with that. And it was just like, I always knew I was going to be an artist.
Sure.
But I knew I wasn't going to fail. That was like never an option. It was like, okay, let's just go to college and get this out of the way.
Yeah.
Kind of situation. Sure. And my original goal was to graduate art school and then immediately go to like sound school, because it was always like, they were always tied. Like,
interesting.
While I was doing art, I also played violin or viola.
Okay.
And since I was like early teens, 13 maybe.
Dang.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah. No, those instruments are no joke. Like little kids, like they start them early on, like whatever.
You know what's funny? Like, I always thought I was good, and then I re-listened to like one of my old middle school. I was just screeching. Right. I was like, ooh. going back to like college. I started. College was great. There was like two instructors that I really loved. There was I have a lot of friends that I'm still friends with that are like way big in the industry now in video games and movies or what have you.
Dope.
And the whole time I was there, I was just YouTubing. So I didn't really learn a whole lot from people. I was just like teaching myself and then teaching the instructors.
Oh, wow.
And so like by the time I graduated, I was like, I'm not going to go to college. For sound, I'm going to teach myself.
Yeah.
So literally I'm not like equivalent in my my music skills as to my art, but I like to think I'm like getting up
approaching there.
Yeah. And it was definitely not the $100,000 like loan.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. I mean, that's ultimately what you do anyway, right?
Yeah.
You ultimately have to like learn it for yourself. Like a teacher can like present information to you.
Sure.
But then you have to do the work to get it into your brain.
And definitely.
Do whatever assignments or whatever thing, structure, program that you're on to like go and do the thing.
Definitely. So, and on my free times, I still teach myself.
Yeah.
Whether the new software is out, or in this case, AI is big now. I'm teaching myself.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And so, what was I going to say? I lost my train of thought.
That's all right. I mean, let's hop on AI for a second. Like, you've done some crazy shit with that. Like, it's super, super cool. Like,
it's cool. It's, AI is one of those things where I wish it never existed, but since the like Pandora's box is open, I'm using it to my advantage.
Yeah, kind of thing. Yeah.
But like, I'm gonna be okay.
Yeah.
Like as far as like money goes,
sure.
But like all the new guys coming up, like that industry like has been chopped in half.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
So I feel so bad for like all the upcoming like concept artists.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's like a.
People that do artwork for fantasy novels, that job is gone.
Right?
Album art, that job is gone. Freelance art has been cut. My industry is a little different. I'm in the casino gaming industry, so I make art animation for slot machines.
Sure.
And like it pays the bills,
yeah.
And more importantly, like it gives me lots of time to do other shit like jiu-jitsu or music.
That's cool.
So like that's why I love that.
It's a good combination.
Yeah. It all works out for me.
Yeah.
Like people that are in the video game industry, or movies, they are slaves.
Right.
Like they are constantly working overtime to bust out like stupid deadlines, unrealistic deadlines.
Definitely.
And so like I'm cool where I'm at right now.
That's cool. that's a good. Like balancing point to be at,
definitely.
Because I found that with my job too. It was like I've at first like I was I mean in tech, in enterprise tech, It's not as like brutal as say like working for Google or Facebook or whatever. So it's a little bit slower pace, but I still like I kind of fucked up at the beginning. I had to like change around the company. I've still been with the same company for 8 years now. But I've kind of like had to reinvent myself and like constantly like learn new things. And that's been the fun part is like adding to my skill set, sort of like learning for myself, like teaching myself whatever. Mm-hmm. And, I think that's just kind of like what makes a person valuable. It's the process of becoming skilled.
Definitely. So like a lot of people that are only concept artists,
yeah,
like they're fucked.
Sure.
So like in my case, I also know like visual effects. I know, Illustrator. I know 3D. I know, sure. Enough technical art to like be proficient with a software engineer.
Sure. Right, yeah, you can say, oh, move this whatever button over here.
For sure. Or like if they're running into problems, I can come up with solutions to help software engineers. So,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Right. We only have so much whatever bandwidth or CPU
for
whatever,
sure.
power, and we can't run your fancy animation.
We could bully you into it, but
right. Yeah. It makes sense. Yeah, so I guess the concept artist or whoever like whoever's going to get put out of a job due to the AI, like what they just have to add like skills.
Definitely.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, it's a bummer, but yeah, it is what it is, and it's funny because like I'm also in the music world,
sure,
and so it's interesting seeing like what happened to music happened to like digital art.
Okay,
expand
on that.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, like we got aside from sampling, we literally got AI drumming now, yeah. Which I use to my advantage.
Sure,
like musicians are the fucking worst. Like, I'm a very organized person.
Sure.
And so I'm actually, like...
You have a corporate job.
Yeah.
Most musicians do not have corporate jobs.
They are chaotic.
Yeah.
But, like, that's what makes them brilliant.
Sure.
And so you have to kind of, like, contain that chaotic energy. And,
yeah.
Like, you know, drummers. Like, they might be flaky or egotistical and all this other stuff. And you just have to manage it.
Sure.
But, and like miking them up, it's a process. And so like sometimes like yeah, fuck it, just get like a AI.
Don't have to deal with the person. It doesn't talk back to you. So
it was definitely like that, like in a band, like yeah, multiple people's clashing and everything like that. Oh man, I'm sorry, your audience is gonna have to listen to my scatterbrained ass.
No, this is what it's for. We're getting to know Ali here.
For sure. So, by the way, so when I jumped into jiu-jitsu, there was also a lull period in my music
mm-hmm.
world, where we just finished releasing an album. We were kind of like exhausted,
yeah.
And so I had all this extra free time. So I did jiu-jitsu. The first 3 years, I went hard
with
jiu-jitsu.
Right.
I did three tournaments, I think. I had abs.
You had abs.
I had abs. Yeah. I was looking at old pictures. My biceps looked weird. Like I was standing next to Dejan. Dejan was skinny too back then. And yeah, it just looked comically fake.
Jacked. Yeah. That's awesome.
And then shortly, I think I mentally started quitting jiu-jitsu like before my blue belt.
I see.
So it
was a slow
Well, because around that time I also had I got a crap ton of injuries. Like I remember my rib popped. I had sciatica.
Oh no. Cuz
I played a lot of guard. And so like yeah, your lower spine just like
doesn't
degrades.
Like
and yeah, it's just a nerve from your lower back all the way to your leg. And so it's like the only comfortable position I could be was like child's pose in yoga. That was the only time the pain stopped. So it was torture. And like I started re-falling in love with like music again.
I see.
And so yeah. And
okay, so music took you. Well, I mean, music and injuries took you.
I have a question because you're also in the creative world.
Sure. Thank you.
I like to think so. I mean, you're like aside from this, but also I like to think coding is creative.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But when you finish a jiu-jitsu class and you go home, like Like, do you still work on stuff or do you just like pass out?
I mean, I train at 6 a.m.
Oh, yeah, so that's right. That's
I don't have the option to.
Like, I've actually passed out like in at work, like after 6 a.m. Oh, so I just start being mindful of my time.
Right. Yeah. I tend to burn the candle at both ends sometimes. Like, I was up late last night and I had to get up early this morning. And so I took a nap at lunch today. So, like, gotcha. I make it up somewhere. I try to, like...
Okay.
Because otherwise I get sick, like, if I don't get, like, enough sleep.
The reason I asked is, sure. like that 3 years where I went hard.
Yeah.
Like that's all I did, like, sure. was work, jiu-jitsu, sleep.
Yeah. And so
it's, like, when I try that again, like, something always suffers.
Sure.
Like my music, stuff where I just stare at my monitor and I'm like, I can't do it. So I try to do at least 3 times a week and an open mat if I can.
Sure.
So that's my, like, so my
schedule.
My path to a black belt is going to be significantly slower, but
sure. Yeah. I mean, it's, two things from there. Yes. When I went hard for like training for trials, work definitely suffered for me. I was like, because I was also like making content for Go Grappling.
Yeah.
Like that took a lot of time. And like my eye was not on the ball for work, but I was still keeping it up. And like my boss was happy. Everybody was happy at work, but I was just like not focused. And I was just like focused on this tournament, winning this trials, punching my ticket to ADCC. Like that was like my goal. And since then, like there was like a big like stress buildup for that, and once the trials passed, I was like, like I just had to like chill for 3 months. I haven't really been lifting weights or training extra or anything like that. I've just been just going to class and just like more or less hanging out, because like that required like a lot of like it took a lot out of me. And I've been focused on work more now, and I've been kicking even more ass at work. So me at fit like 50% attention at work, like now I'm at like 80% attention at work, and I'm like kicking even more ass. So it's a I don't know. Yeah, there's different things to balance, and I go to therapy, and my therapist is like, yeah, some balls like are rubber, and like if you like you're juggling balls and some balls are glass and break if you drop them, and some balls are rubber. If you like drop them, they can like you can pick them back up and start going again.
I like that.
Yeah. So, because yeah, I'm, as you can tell, type A personality, where it's like I just want to be the best at everything. It's like even though it's like completely unrealistic and like totally not whatever, I'm somewhat setting myself up for failure.
But I want to expand on that.
Sure. Yeah.
One thing I love about downtown is like the younger kids.
Uh-huh.
Like Angel, Khalil. I don't know how old Jill is, but like, yeah, she looks young.
She's a competitor. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of them have that like vibrant, like optimistic energy. Sure.
Yeah.
And like, I'm 34. Yeah, it's like I don't see me doing that.
Sure.
But like that energy is so contagious. I love like being around it. The same way like being around depressing people is contagious. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a virus.
Definitely.
Like you can transfer, I mean, the actual word for memes is like ideas. You can like memes can have lives.
Oh, I heard about Dawkins.
Yeah, I read the book The Selfish Gene, in which he like proposes this idea of a meme in 1990 something or whatever. And but we just repurposed it for funny pictures.
For sure.
But it's a self-contained idea, and like yeah, like you mentioned, like it's contagious. Like literally the word contagious is like it's a disease, or we're passing it around to each other, right? So yeah, you have to pick your circle carefully. You have to choose, be intentional about who you're around.
I guess what I'm trying to say is like it makes me feel young still.
Sure. Yeah.
A lot of like how old are you? You're 30?
31.
Okay, fairly similar age. Yeah. Like a lot of people like that I grew up with in high school, they just like turned to their parents and like just like gave up like emotionally, they like even when you look at them physically, you can just tell they gave up. Mm-hmm. And like being around people like that kind of like still makes me feel
and I think that's weirdly, I don't know if it's Vegas or whatever, but like we're out here in like Party Central, and like there's a variety of people out here. Everyone here is from somewhere else.
Yes.
Like did you move here?
I was born in Iran.
You were born in Iran? Yeah, exactly. So like everyone's a transplant here. So I think it's a weird, like the people who moved away from their hometowns like don't have the option, or what, like yes, it kind of sucks that we're like away from our parents or whatever, but at the same time, like we're not influenced by the environment that we grew up in, and we're not like, I don't know, subject to, we're just like, oh, we're just gonna do the same thing that we, whatever my parents did, and
Franken-jitsu,
different perspectives. Yeah, exactly. We're in this melting pot of perspectives out here.
Definitely.
And we're, I mean, not to say that we're kids or whatever, like we're grown kids out here, like making our own choices and choosing the environments that we want to be in. And I mean, jiu-jitsu is one of the best environments you can be in. It's like, because everyone is like getting better, and it's a positive upward spiral. Mm-hmm. Everyone has that energy of like when I come in at 6 a.m., it's like everyone really wants to be there.
Yeah.
Like, because they're missing sleep, probably.
Dude, the first couple minutes of waking up is torture.
Every day for me, too. Like, I live for this shit. And every time my alarm wakes me up, I'm like, fuck. That's my first thought in my head. And this is me doing it for the thing that I love the most. I don't know where I was going with that, the community aspect of jiu-jitsu is super huge. I think that, like you mentioned, like being around other like-minded people, mm-hmm. Everybody wanting to get better at whatever they're doing.
Yeah, and it makes me want to be better at art.
Yeah. That's cool.
Or music or what have you.
Right. Yeah. So how much crossover do you see like with whatever jiu-jitsu and art and like the process of
doing that? I was actually wondering if you're going to ask this question.
Sure.
So Andrew Ram, going back to him.
All right.
One thing I liked about him was, by the way, he's a very acquired taste of a coach.
Yeah.
But I love you, Andrew. He's definitely on the spectrum. Definitely on the spectrum. And maybe it's because I'm around a lot of artists that are like that. Uh-huh. Like, I can kind of, like, relate to him in a way.
Yeah.
And he loves teaching custom jiu-jitsu, where it fits, like, a person's body type kind of thing. All
right.
And the way he related to me was, when I make music...
Yeah.
Or when... When I was learning music,
yeah.
I dreaded like the scales, like memorizing the scales, mm-hmm. memorizing the chords.
Sure.
And I'm a big fan of like when like inventing your own chords. Sure. Like start out with like a triad, and then maybe add a fourth or a seventh, and then lower the second, a half step, and making your own like exotic chords.
Sure.
And the way he taught jiu-jitsu was similar to that, where it was like. Like, you don't have to, like, go this path. If your leg is this way, you can just, like, go to a mountain instead.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been a big fan of transitions in jiu-jitsu. Mm-hmm. So, like lately, Jesse's been doing this a lot downtown, where it's, like, guillotine to anacondas to darts. The triangle around that.
Sure.
And triangles on the plata arm bars. Yeah. Like, same thing. Uh-huh. And so, or if you lose mount... if they're escaping like your back take, you can kind of like go around to a mount kind of thing. I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah. Like little things like that. And so it's like, I don't like the structure, but I like if there's a path, like you can make your own path kind of thing. So if that makes sense.
Yeah, that definitely. Like it's a, there's a standard way, quote unquote standard way, like what cookie cutter way to learn jiu-jitsu or learn anything. And then once you have a basic understanding of it, then you can kind of make your own. Like,
yeah,
once you know the rules, you can break
them. You remember like the first 2 years of jiu-jitsu, it's like you learn something, it's like, oh, I could use that for something I learned like 2 months ago.
Right. Exactly. Like you haven't seen all the things yet, and yeah, you're just like, oh,
and you can tell that the coaches are frustrated, like when you kind of ask questions, it's like, just hold on, just keep learning.
Sure.
Just, yeah, can just do what I tell you. You'll eventually figure out why I'm telling you to just shut up.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. I'm lucky I only fill in every so often. And I'm just like, let me just teach some cool thing that I'm doing, and then I don't have to worry about the repercussions. Yeah, that's interesting. That I feel like, yeah, we lose. Like, I've been doing jiu-jitsu 10 years, so it's weird to like think back. Like it's the same thing with anything. It's like you forget what it's like to be a beginner,
right? Yeah.
So I do remember walking into triangles for 6 months, and like I just had no idea. Like I was like, what is going on? Like, because I was a wrestler, I pressured in, I was just forward drive. Like, I didn't,
yeah, they're really, like, come to me.
Exactly. Yeah. this is what we want. So I didn't understand, oh, you can do like side to side pressure and like whatever, you don't have to be all in forward. So I have to kind of remind myself, like, and I kind of do this like when I roll with people, when I roll with the, like, people younger in the sport, and I say like, hey, you, like, I just always give somebody like a little tip after our role. I'm like, oh, hey, you can do this thing or whatever, just to remind myself, oh, this person probably has never seen that before.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And I always try to be the, like, the upper belt that I wish I had, of like somebody who would just give me the answer.
It also kind of like reinforces your own knowledge as well too.
Definitely. Exactly. Because I'm like, oh, this is the thing that happened. Okay. That makes it more concrete in my head, and like expressing it and knowing that, hey, like, I've whatever, I can package this up and like show this person, hey, this specific thing is what's happening. So yeah, it's cool. It's cool to like, yeah, like we're mid-career professionals. We're not close to retirement yet or whatever. This is growing up, apparently.
it's a slow death.
It's a slow, a slow decline. We're the old farts who are like, you young whippersnappers make me feel young again or whatever. So
when did Casey start jiu-jitsu? He was 30, right?
Really? I have no idea.
Because like one of the first things I asked him when I joined, I'm like, should I bother? Like,
yeah, sure.
I'm 26. Like, I see a bunch of like kids over here, right, like killing each other. Like, do I stand a chance? He's like, yeah, I think he said like, yeah, he started when he was 30.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
So I was like, okay.
Right. I think that's a good like testament, because yeah, like Doug started when he was 40 or something like that, so he's 45, 46 now. So yeah, it's a good thing to have examples for different people at different levels. And what you mentioned here, I'll circle back to where what I wanted to go with you saying your path to black belt is going to take longer. Not necessarily, it's just different, right? Like, if you're the 3 to 4 times a week kind of guy, then that's the trajectory you're going. Like somebody like Spencer, who literally lives in the gym.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe that. Doesn't literally live in the gym, for whoever's listening.
He has a secret dungeon
he is
where he stays at.
Right. The standard for his black belt is going to be that much higher, right?
That's true. That's true.
Because the expectations are much higher. For me, the expectations for myself are higher. It's like, oh, I don't expect to have the next belt unless I'm like the world champion at the current belt or whatever. Like that is the standard for myself. If somebody wants to give me a belt before then, great. But if not, like, if I'm not the world champion at purple belt, all right, I've got more work to do.
Yeah.
So it's a arbitrary kind of thing that, I don't know, motivates people to stick with it, because for whatever reason we decided that belts were cool. But then 10th Planet doesn't really wear belts, so it's also interesting to not have that always represented on in Nogi, where it's like people wear crazy unicorn rash guards and spats and things like that, right? So you have no idea what somebody's skill level is sometimes.
By the way, my first couple of rash guards that I ordered, like, I didn't know the ranking system.
No.
So I got like a couple purple ones.
You were like, oh,
this color, this is pretty cool. I forgot who called me. It's like, do not wear that in class. I'm like, oh shit.
Right. It's always funny to see that. Like, when people buy the black belt ones and they're not black belts, they wear any hint of red, I'm like, are you really a black belt? Or,
no, dude, that guy's just ambitious as
right.
fuck.
Exactly, right? It's a weird. We make meaning out of these, it's just clothing, right? It's just like, it's colored pieces of fabric. Arguably art, who knows? I think it's the meaning that we put onto the thing that's important, like our personal meaning.
The meaning, and like we kind of like romanticize it in a weird way, where it's like that guy's like put a lot of hours to get that,
definitely
to have the honor to wear that.
Sure,
yeah,
exactly. So it's not the belt only covers 2 inches of your ass. You have to cover the rest of it. That whole thing, like you're. You worked so hard to achieve that, then, you have to, like, it's still on you. Like, the skill doesn't, like, magically appear or disappear with a belt or whatever. But you have to, just be, if you're in the system, like, that's kind of what you're subjecting yourself to, is, like, disappointment, potentially, if you feel like you deserve a belt, but you don't, or whatever. I don't know. It's a weird thing, but it's kind of what we all decided on.
Yeah.
That we all kind of agreed to by doing Brazilian jiu-jitsu instead of Brazilian wrestling or whatever, right?
Once in a blue moon, you go on YouTube and you see a guy promoting himself, and then everyone's like, what the
fuck? Yeah, exactly, right? Everybody's like, no! That guy's not a real black belt or brown belt or whatever, right? It's cool. Sweet. So going back to, like, of course, you say you've always been an artist or whatever, so you obviously, like, you've enjoyed it from a young age. Like, what meaning do you find in your profession/hobby? But if you differentiate them, is it all one thing? Is it all one art, or do you view them as separate things?
Ooh, that is a good question.
Yeah.
Lately, I think it has been they've been complementing each other.
Yeah.
Because when I do make a track, like sometimes I might make the artwork first, and then it might sound like this.
Yeah.
So there is that. My art, it's kind of interesting. It's like when I do graphic design stuff, it is like strictly for money. I hate doing
it's
it.
It's a transaction.
I hate doing it for other people. It's mostly a time thing. Sure. Like when I wake up, it's mostly like, how can I squeeze in music time or jiu-jitsu time?
Yeah.
And so I did freelance for a little bit, and it was torture. Like. Sure. Because it was just like, well, I get my money this time, or they come back with another request. Yeah. And it's like, it adds up to where it was never worth the amount of money like they offered me in the first place.
Sure, yeah, you're making less than minimum.
So I, my day job is strictly my day job.
Yep.
I hate doing art for other people. But the music is completely opposite. Sure. I like actively scout crazy musicians to work with me.
That's dope.
And I don't do that for the money. Yeah. Well, I've done a couple free DJ gigs. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care. Like it just feels good.
Yeah.
And if it was the other way around, it would be strictly money for music and art for everyone. Mm. So.
Gotcha. Interesting.
But there's definitely like a tie-in connection, like as far as. Both worlds. I can't see one without the other.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's. Yeah. I don't know. I guess let me pose the ridiculous question. What is art? I feel like Lex Friedman. Like,
oh, lately, I don't know, because I've always had like a definition in the beginning, but it's changed so much, sure, especially with AI now. Like, I have to redefine art again.
God damn it! I have to keep defining.
And I guess at the end of the day, like, it is subjective. It is. Dude, I've listened to some dog shit music that, like, they just crush the shit out of. It's just distorted. But, like, people are, like, they love it. And I'm, like, I'm over here sculpting every sound, yeah, like, to make room for the bass, to make room for the vocalist over here. And it's nicely packaged and pristine.
Yeah.
And it's, like, this chaotic energy over here. Like, right, like, it's super successful. For me, it's a way of just, like, I have a bunch of emotions that's just like, well, that wants to escape, and yeah, I just
pour it out.
And that's what it is for me.
Yeah.
But like, as for everyone else, it's like whatever makes you feel yeah, like, yeah, whether if it's like disgust or hate or like makes you feel warm or nostalgic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That's cool. Yeah, that's good. Cause yeah, like I love, yeah, certain bands, and like it's a, not to get too hippy dippy, it catches a vibe. Like, it strings a.
That's a real thing, dude. I listen to like some songs and that just like, I can close my eyes and it takes me back to high school.
Exactly.
Like, I could like breathe the like alleys we were like hanging out with. Mm-hmm. I'm a very sensual person.
Sure.
So, like, I can like take myself there like immediately through music.
Definitely.
Or, yeah.
Yeah. Because, yeah, like, it's the artist. Imparting their feelings into this whatever medium that you're expressing yourself in, like music or pictures or whatever art, and it's the observer of like, oh, that resonates with me. It's like, that's,
yeah,
like that I understand that, or maybe not understand that, but I like it for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, that's interesting because yeah, like I don't know, I'm into, well, not into like ska music in general. I'm just into Streetlight Manifesto, which is like my whole, like, this by far my favorite band, just because like the lyrics are about something.
Yeah,
like, it's about like teenage angst and like meaningful like life shit.
Yeah.
So, but it's also like happy trumpet music.
Yeah. Well, that's actually, I love that you mentioned ska. Like my favorite at the moment, the genre of music I'm doing the most is drum and bass, which is the same BPM, beats per minute, as ska.
Uh-huh.
So it has that like bouncy upbeat,
uh-huh,
and it's kind of quick. And so like that's what I'm into.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I appreciate ska for the same reason.
Definitely. Yeah. I don't know. So like, is all music like certain beats per minute? Like, do they have different buckets of beats per minute for different kinds of genres?
For electronic music, specifically DJ music, yes, because there's obviously you want to do like the beat syncing.
You have to like
mix and mash, and like that's a big thing. The old school, like rock and roll way, they literally like pressed record. It was never to like a click track or anything. So when you do try to like put it in like a GarageBand Logic, whatever session, Pro Tool session, you can't really sync it because it's like picks up a little speed here and there, and then it's a little bit more organic.
I see.
Most modern music these days are to a click track.
I see.
But yeah, each one definitely gives you different emotions. Obviously, a slow one, like, off the top of my head, Billie Eilish, more moody,
sure,
the more faster, the more upbeat, or angsty, heavy metal, punk,
sure,
same thing.
Right.
I actually didn't like hip hop for the longest time because it was slow. I didn't realize it until I started hearing remixes in drum and bass of like Wu-Tang, and then I was like, oh, this is cool, I get it now, I get it. So like, yeah, again, for me, I love upbeat music, and like, I didn't realize how much I loved hip hop until it was more upbeat.
Interesting. I've never actually thought of the term upbeat before.
Yeah,
like, because like up, like you think upbeat is like, oh, it's fun or happy or whatever, but it's faster.
Yeah,
it's literally faster. It's
double time.
It's giving you more energy.
The opposite. I know Daft Punk, they like took like more faster songs and slowed it down, reversed it, and like okay. It gives you a complete different vibe as well too.
Interesting. Huh. Yeah, I guess I've never like thought through like the mechanics of music, and now that I'm sitting with somebody, you're
blowing that, mind. That's all I live for. Like I love the technical stuff. Sure. And same as art as well too. Like the minute I found out about layers within Photoshop, the possibilities are endless.
The universe will be mine. Like you can just
I'm starting like a musician producer club kind of thing.
Oh, dope.
And like we had our first song and I learned so much from these two dudes. Mm-hmm. Like literally taking like a kick drum, reversing it into a kick, like makes this like suction effect. Mm. It was a boom. And I was like it's like cool when you're like doing like a build into it. Uh-huh. Like it just hits you like that much harder if it wasn't there. So like yeah, there's always like little cool like technical tricks here and there. Mm-hmm. Going back to a build, you can have a song that's stereo, just narrow it down, and when like the build hit or when the drop chorus whatever hits, it just like goes right back wide again, and like yeah, it just hits you like that. So I pay attention to a lot of like these kinds of minor details.
Interesting.
That might affect normal people like right. Subconsciously.
Right. Yeah. Like you're really tuned into that.
Yeah.
You're because it's. I don't know, normies like me are just like, oh, song sounds good. Like you don't
hey, you guys exist for a reason. I go to a lot of like normal people, I'm like, just what do you think about this? Like, I think their feedback is valuable as
sure
as much so.
Yeah, because it's well I guess yeah, you might like feel like you're getting yourself into a hole or something because you only see the technical stuff.
Yeah.
And you need to like if you're making music for like for other people to listen to, you want it to listen to, you want it to sound good to people other than you. Yeah. Right.
And like going back to that like crunchy like shit music that dude made, it's like you have to look at that and be like, but you know what, like the structure was fucking good. Like, that vocal line does hit, like
yeah.
and like it just at the end of the day it comes down to the kick, snare and vocals. Mm-hmm. Melody like secondary. And it's like, that's what makes a song special.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Everything else, all this tiny little ear candy, I like to call them, like they're extra.
Like it's, yeah, it's definitely, it's not the main course.
Yeah.
It's for audiophiles who like really care about the little details or whatever. That makes sense. Cool. So let's see. Okay, I kind of asked these questions. What do you think of like having a grappling network? So like having like just we know all these different people. We live in a community of a ton of different people, and having like I don't know a person for across all these different professions, like whatever you're. Graphic design, music. Somebody else is like a scientist. Somebody else is like.
I immediately thought of Katie. She's a scientist.
Yeah, exactly.
You need to get her here. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Yeah, she's down to come on. So I just need to get her on.
Hell
so.
Yeah.
But yeah. So yeah, I don't know. Do you? How do you feel about like meeting all these different types of people that you may not have otherwise met before?
Going back to your first podcast episode.
Sure. Okay. I love the fucking references. Dude, you did your homework.
One thing you said that I really, really, really loved was like, you don't choose your coworkers.
Yeah.
And like, jiu-jitsu is kind of like the same way. You just have these wild dudes come in, like each one with their weird background.
Right.
And like, yeah, like again, KD, like a scientist doing jiu-jitsu is fucking crazy.
Right? Yes. Super badass.
My cousin, she's like a nurse and she does jiu-jitsu. That's awesome.
Right? Because it's, it makes life interesting, right? Like, you don't, I don't know, people you hang out with at work is like, you I don't know, like they all are kind of similar to you because they're all at the same job as you, right? Because, so they all, I don't know, like, I just reposted this meme earlier this week about, like, tech bros. Like, they're different, they're five different hobbies that they have. It's like, hiking, going out clubbing, and whatever, vaping. I don't know what other what the things were. Being a podcaster, I fell into that trap apparently. Yeah, like people, they're like stereotypes exist for a certain reason. So like, you want to break out of that and get a broader perspective of the world.
It makes you a way interesting person. So one thing like about jiu-jitsu, like when I said like you're going to be doing jiu-jitsu when you're in your late 20s, Ollie, I was like, what? Like, I would never do that.
Right.
But it's like what my mindset back then was like, I never, like I always associated grappling or specifically MMA with bro culture.
Sure.
Yeah. I never associated it with like IT nerd intellectuals. Uh-huh. And yeah, frat boy culture. And it was like, yeah, that weird prejudice with it.
Sure.
And so like when you find out like someone like Katie exists that does like both signs stuff and jiu-jitsu.
Sure.
Super cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
It makes you way more like interesting. Like I want to know more about you.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's a very unique perspective on the world. Because you, what path through life did you take to get to this point? Right. Like it's that sounds like a really like hell of a ride to get to here. So
who bullied you? Come on. You can't be a normal person and just pick up jiu-jitsu.
Right.
Exactly. Something happened to you.
Exactly. Cool. All right. I guess anything you want to plug or whatever?
I'm going to say
St. Regal on Instagram.
It's actually St. Rigel.
Rigel?
It's okay. I should, like a lot of people fuck it up, but yeah. I guess I should like officially say it out. Yeah. Out loud,
right?
Same, right?
We'll clip that.
And, yeah. Like, you can just,
do you put it in your tracks, Saint? Right? Like,
I have a couple. I have a couple tracks that I don't play that isn't on Spotify, but like I use it to hype up like a crowd into a next song. So I guess I do.
Sweet.
But yeah, I'm on Instagram. I need to get back on Facebook. I hate Facebook so much.
It's terrible.
I'll try to be active on that.
I never go there.
I've completely abandoned Twitter.
Yeah,
that toxic shithole.
Right.
And TikTok, I'm on occasionally, but I'll try to be more productive
with the Zoomers on TikTok. What is that like? I barely know what TikTok is.
Well, I mean, it's similar to Instagram Reel at this point. Instagram Reel is like they just take leftovers.
They just copy pasted.
It's like the trend on Instagram Reel has been like long gone. Like TikTok's moving on to other things.
But
it's like memes, funny, stupid shit.
I see.
The occasional dance, but whatever. Skip through that.
I see.
Yeah.
So Instagram's like it's what Facebook is to like. I don't know. I used to be on really active on, not active, like scrolling through Reddit. And it's like whatever memes were on Reddit eventually filtered through to like Instagram and Facebook. And I guess that's the new thing. It's like TikTok, all the new shit's over there. And then it eventually filters.
Trickles down
to the old people platform.
Well, Instagram's turning into like OnlyFans now, right?
Or, yeah. No, it's Instagram subscriptions.
I just saw Casey's like subscribe for $4 or something like that. I was like, oh, it's starting.
Yeah. No, it's every creator should get on that. Like if you have access to that, because I mean that's partly why I shut down Google Grappling. It's like Instagram's gonna kill it. Like this is so much easier. It's in app. People understand it.
You already have a following.
You already have it's every follower that Casey has. Got that notification today, and I signed up for it. I was like, okay, I'm going to support Coach because I'm going to reward this behavior because this is like the thing that I wanted to do with Go-Go Grappling. So, So I think support your local creators, whoever they are.
Mm-hmm.
They make the world go round.
So, yes.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Thanks, Ollie.
Dude, I love you.
Love you too.